So gifted for kingdom purpose. Let's just start with some prayer. Father, we thank you for our time this morning. We thank you for wonderful worship, Lord. Yes, amen.
Good preaching.
That's right. Out of the mouth of babes will come worship.
On.
Yeah, and praise. Hallelujah. We love you, Father. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're with us this morning. Mm-hmm. We set our mind apart to hear your voice. Teach us, show us, reveal things to us from your word, Lord, that we don't know, that we don't understand. Take us higher. We want to go deeper and higher and abide, Lord, in you. Walk in your ways and serve you in the kingdom of God. We love you, Lord. We look forward to good things to come. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Yes. Amen. So we shared a message with you last week. It was called Living with Kingdom Purpose. Living with Kingdom Purpose. And we were talking with you about the truth that the gospel is a message about forgiveness of sin and salvation, but it carries a much deeper meaning, much broader meaning than salvation and a ticket to heaven, as I say. Well, I got my ticket. It's way bigger than that. And when you think about the Gospels, if you've read through the Gospels, and we're reading through them now in our daily Bible reading, when Jesus came and proclaimed the Gospel, he did say, repent for what? The kingdom of heaven is at hand. He said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And sometimes we can just read that and go, yeah, but no, he had specific meaning for it. In effect, he was saying, I'm the king.
Yes.
You know, I'm the lawful owner. I'm here to rule and reign over the earth and bring my rulership and reign over the earth and actually ultimately the entire cosmos, like the entire universe.
Amen.
Because of his second coming, we will see him set up here on the king, set up his kingdom here on the earth, and the whole heavens will come under the authority of Christ.
Yes, so, there's a great amen, hey?
You know, God's kingdom, what's God's kingdom? If we would just think of God's kingdom in heaven, what's it full of? It's full of life,
yes.
Love, truth, right? It's full of light. What's Satan's dominion and kingdom full of? Sin, yeah, darkness.
Lies
and death. So, of course, hearing the king come and make the declaration, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, like the rulership of God is here in the earth, this shook up. I can imagine the realms of darkness, like an earthquake happening. With Satan and demons, because their dominion and reign is full, of course, sin, darkness, and death, which was holding people captive in the earth to their domain, to his domain.
Right.
And now it's being invaded by God. The Son of God's here saying, I'm bringing light, I'm bringing love, I'm going to bring truth, I'm going to bring justice. I'm going to show you really what God's original intention was for the earth.
Come on.
And the opposition, as we know, Jesus faced opposition. The opposition was through people, but he faced the opposition, really, it was from the realm of darkness.
Right.
Just like when we face opposition to our belief, we're not wrestling with flesh and blood, Scripture says. We're wrestling with principalities, powers, and rulers of the darkness that are energizing the minds of people to do the will of Satan.
Right.
We're here to do the will of God. Right?
Amen.
And so, of course, the awesome part, we just celebrated Easter, so we know Jesus soundly defeated Satan.
Come on.
At the cross, at his resurrection, he said, all authority, meaning, I like this, amen. All authority, meaning my kingdom reign, my power has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And then what did he say? Now you go.
That's right.
And make a disciple. So the insinuation is now you go in my authority and establish my kingdom, my kingdom's reign.
That's right.
It's not completely visible yet. It will be. But now the kingdom of God, Scripture says, is within us.
Come on.
So we are operating by faith, bringing the kingdom. We're supposed to bring light, the things of the kingdom, truth, hope, healing, all the things that we saw Jesus do, we're assigned to do.
That's right.
You and I, as children of God, are part of the glorious kingdom of light. Isn't that awesome?
Come on. It's and bigger than just a ticket to heaven.
We're here, so you're here this morning. We're here on kingdom purpose. Yes. Behind the scene of everyday life, we're establishing kingdom work, ambassadors for God. We are a chosen race. It says a royal priesthood.
That's right.
We are here to display the virtues of him, it says, who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Mm. It's beautiful. It's no wonder when we do worship in this place, it's easy to get excited. Some of us get excited. The rest of you, the fire's going to catch. You know, I pray the fire like jumps on the person next to you and goes, what are you so excited about?
Jesus!
But as his body, we're royal family members.
Yeah.
That should raise up your standard and your identity pretty high.
Yep.
You read about England and the royal family. Well, you are the royal family member.
Come on.
Here to establish God's kingdom in the realm, a sphere of influence that you have. So if we understand our salvation in this limited way, mm-hmm. I say as a ticket to heaven, well, I'm saved, and now that means when I die, I go to heaven. We miss a huge part.
Come on.
A huge part of our mission and purpose for why God has us here in the earth. And this is what's happened really a lot to the American church.
Right.
It's like I go to church, I leave, I get my pumped up on Sunday, and I have my ticket to heaven, and then I just do my own thing the rest of the week. That's completely missing the mission and purpose of who God made you to be. And I'm here to do the mission and purpose of God. You're here. We're here as pastors. Our purpose is to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry.
Right.
So this is why we like to speak on this. So in your life, in my life, you know, how's God going to, where does he want to bring his kingdom reign? Well, it does start in our own life.
Yes.
We have to put him first. So it begins in your own life. And then we want, of course, our family life to be influenced by the kingdom.
Come on.
Your children really are your first disciples if you're married and have children. But really, every sphere of influence in the earth is meant to have a facet of the kingdom brought into it.
Amen.
The kingdom reign of God. You know, we do missions. We all believe in missions work, but even in education, we need strong Christian mindsets in education,
yes.
In our government,
amen.
In the arts and entertainment. I mean, we should be infiltrating the world in all its facets for the kingdom.
Yes.
And it sounds like a big task. I mean, especially if you've never heard this before. I know it opened up our eyes when we first learned. It was like, I never understood Christianity to be this way, but this
right.
is really what the Word of God teaches. But God's given us his Spirit, and I think that's what we have to remember. You are not doing this in your own strength. You have the Spirit of God if you're a child of God.
Yes.
You have the Holy Spirit dwelling on the inside of you. We sang that song, Teach Me to Abide. See, we need to abide in our heart like, God, you're in me. We need to abide in the truth that way. It makes it easier then to live out the truth.
Come on.
Look at this scripture, 2 Corinthians 4:7. This is up on the screen, but I would encourage you to find it in your Bible.
Yes. 2 Corinthians is after 1 Corinthians.
See?
That's right.
How smart everybody's getting.
Yeah. It's we'll get it.
2 Corinthians 4:7. The Holy Spirit is on the inside of you and me to equip for a reason.
Yeah.
To equip us to do the works that he's called us to do in the earth. Look at this scripture. It's just awesome. It says, we possess this precious treasure.
There we are.
The divine light of the gospel in frail human vessels of earth. That the grandeur and the exceeding greatness of the power may be shown to be from God and not from ourselves. Like, you might not feel like you look like much on the outside, but on the inside,
yeah.
You're carrying the very treasure. You're carrying the Spirit of Christ.
Yes. See, the Holy Spirit, he empowers us. He equips us to be a witness for Christ, to make people understand the true Jesus, not a religious Jesus, but the Jesus of the Bible. We're to bring people to the light. We're to shine the light. Jesus said he was the light of the world, and then he turns it around and says, you're the light of the world.
Yeah.
So we are laboring with him in the harvest, empowered by the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit equips us to bring hope You know, we are to bring hope in our situation, not just here on Sunday, but we're to bring hope everywhere we go, just like what Pastor Mamie is saying. Your sphere of influence, everywhere you go, you're manifesting the kingdom. You really are. We're here to help and heal people who are hurting. Amen? This is, we are to do the works that Jesus did. We're to set the captives free. This is your responsibility. This is my responsibility. We've been ordained by Jesus himself right there in the Great Commission. He says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And he says, therefore you go. So he's anointed us by the Holy Spirit to do the works of Jesus. Yeah. We're to help people break free from sin.
Yeah.
We're to help people just understand who God is. Like our, we say, know God. We're here to help people know God. And then if you know God, then you're going to find your purpose. It's not just a ticket to heaven.
Yeah.
This is where we advance the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. His original intent was in Adam and Eve, we're going to colonize the world with the king's ownership. We're going to bring his intent, his purpose. We're going to bring his character and manifest it on the earth. That's what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be establishing the kingdom of God here, establishing the love. When we love people, when we serve people, guess what you're doing? You're manifesting the kingdom of God.
Yeah, yeah.
You're manifesting, and you were created for this. You're anointed by the Holy Spirit to do it. Mm-hmm. And when we recognize, okay, our Christianity isn't just, oh, my sins are forgiven, and I'm going to heaven. And no, this is where, all right, now you're an ambassador for Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. You're an ambassador for the kingdom of heaven. So therefore, now, we're going to take that responsibility. Amen?
Amen.
And that responsibility, we're empowered by the Holy Spirit to do it.
Yeah.
In your own personality. You're not going to be somebody else. You're just going to let the Holy Spirit work through you to everybody you know. Look at what this scripture says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. This is incredible, incredible scripture. I love to hear those pages turning. It is always best to see it in your own Bible.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of things in that Bible that you can underline that really resonate with your own heart. And so that is an important way to come back and find it in the scriptures. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we could walk in them.
Yeah.
It's amazing. That word workmanship, it actually has a base meaning of a masterpiece. When you go to wake up in the morning, you're brushing your teeth, you know what you ought to do? I'm a masterpiece.
I'm God's masterpiece.
I'm a masterpiece. It's amazing.
He made
It's important for us to understand you're not who the world says you are.
Yeah.
You're not who they say you are either.
Yeah.
And this is important because sometimes we goof up, and the truth is sometimes you're not who you say you are.
Yeah.
We're who God says we are.
Yeah.
And so when we start to in the morning, I'm the masterpiece. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Start to say who you are. Because when you look at a mountain, you can make it bigger by the words you speak. If you're causing your troubles by the words of your mouth to gain bigger ascendancy, stop it. We're going to start to say what Jesus said about us. Amen.
Amen.
You know, it's amazing. Put it this way. Your life can be a tapestry, so to speak, all right? And there are all these different pieces, these threads, different sizes of threads, different lengths of threads.
Colors.
Look at this. And, you know, when you take a look at it, you think, Man, my life's a mess.
A tangled mess.
You know what? You look at it and say, well, what kind of masterpiece was that? You know, you think that was when you were 2 years old, you colored that.
You tried to weave it. You tried.
And you know, the world will tell you you're so messed up, or you're misshaped, or you are so bad off that nothing is going to work out for you. But what is the truth? Romans 8:28. This is probably one of the first scriptures that you've remembered in your own mind. God works all things for the good of those who are called of him. Look at this. He works for all things that are good. Look, this is what we hand him. And then what happens is that he comes and when we yield to him and give him this everything that we've had, because you know life messes us up. Life messes you up. And when you hand it over to Christ, look what he does here. Look at that.
That's the front of that.
You know, because a lot of things shape our lives, our family. Are, you know, things that we have no control over. And the truth is, painful things, you know, that we've all gone through, they can move our life. And when we hand God the tangled mess that in a lot of times we've created, and we allow him to start to take lordship of our lives, mm-hmm. he can create a masterpiece out of it.
Yeah.
You know, it's awesome.
It is.
When you give him your full life, not part way, all the way.
Yeah.
And like Pastor Mamie was quoting 1 Peter, you're a royal race. You're a royal race.
Yeah. But God will take every part of your life if you give it to him, and he works healing. Jesus is a healer. So all those broken threads, you know, he says, I can weave them together and make something good out of it. It's like I think of that scripture in Philippians. It says, he who started.
Yeah, that's good.
He who began a good work in you. He began a good work. So he calls you a masterpiece. It's like he'll be faithful to complete it unto the day of Christ. But it does involve our cooperation.
Come on.
He's not going to just drop on you and, you know, we have to say, I want you to do something with my life, Lord.
Yeah.
And when we do that, then he starts taking all those broken pieces and threads and says, you know what, I'm going to make a royal crown out of it. Because we are God's masterpiece. And scripture says we are a royal priesthood.
Yes.
So these words really are true about our lives. And God will do everything he can in his power to weave together all your broken circumstances and create something that you can do, something beautiful, a masterpiece.
Yes.
And he's doing it so that you're equipped to do the work he's called you to do in the earth. You know, the comfort that God has given you in the broken parts of your life are very often the ministry that comes forth out of your own heart, because your heart has mercy and compassion and understanding for somebody who's going through the same thing.
Yes.
And there's an anointing on your life even to minister to that person. So all these things, he's saying, I can work good in all these things. He who began that good work, he'll be faithful to complete it. And so you are uniquely, we talked about this a little bit last week, like you're uniquely put together. There is no two people with the same voice print, footprint, fingerprint.
That's right.
You know, I said AI has a lot of repeats, but it's not the real thing. You are the real thing, and there's no one person exactly like you. And so God put us together uniquely. We said we're wonderfully complex. Sometimes
yes.
Maybe too complex for people around us to understand. But he says, I saw you. I knit you together in your mother's womb.
Amen.
You're fearfully and wonderfully made. And so there's uniqueness about your life. You're fearfully and wonderfully made, and he's put gifts and abilities in you. Even your personality is given by God.
Yes.
Your personality is given by God. And we want to talk about, we've been saying we're going to talk about giftings. The Bible has a lot to say about giftings, and the way we're going to describe it, because there's been so much written about Bible gifts. Yeah. But we've put it, the way we understand it best is that there are three categories of giftings. Like God has put abilities in you, he's put a personality in you, and he's put giftings in you. And there are three large categories of giftings in Scripture. There's the motivational gifts in Scripture. These are the ones we're going to talk about today that are outlined in Romans 12. These are gifts that we possess. We say motivational because they kind of, they're the way you're wired. Yeah. They what motivate you to just do what you do in your life. Right. We possess these gifts. God built them into us. They're part of your personality, really. They're part of your makeup.
Right.
And then there are nine manifestation gifts that are talked about in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. These are supernatural manifestations of the Spirit given as the Spirit of God wills. We don't possess those gifts. It's as the Spirit wills, like gifts of healing or working of miracles and special faith. We don't possess those. He moves upon people and as he wills for those gifts to manifest. Mm-hmm. Okay, and then there are, the Bible talks about fivefold ministry gifts that are mentioned in Ephesians 4. Apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. These specific giftings are given really according to the will of God. They're more of an office in the church in order to equip the saints to do the work of ministry. So those are more of, they're often referred to as fivefold ministry gifts. So there's motivational gifts that we possess that make up who you are. There's the nine manifestation gifts and then fivefold ministry gifts.
Yes.
So you could see that if we just say, well, the Bible says a lot about gifts and we all have gifts and you just throw everything in one basket, it'd be like, if we don't separate out the categories and explain a little bit, it's confusing to understand. So it's important that we make some distinctions about whatever each category is about and how the gifts function.
Yeah.
So turn in your Bible to Romans 12. This is where we're going to basically
we'll start
center
off
on
right
today.
There. You know, and what's really pretty, these are the motivational gifts. These are the ones that we actually possess. Like Pastor Mamie says, this is the makeup. This is, these things make you who you are. And as we go through some of these today, you'll kind of pick up, well, that's how I am, and I kind of got that, and I kind of, really, we can operate in all of these gifts, but there's one that is more dominant for you. And Romans 12, we're going to look at 4 and 5, and because Paul, the apostle, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, talks about we are members of the body of Christ. And verse 4 says, just as our bodies have many parts, each part has a special function. So it is with the Christ body, that we are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. This is really important, because for us to really understand this, the Holy Spirit is bringing it down to our level, and he's bringing it back to your body. You know that you have many different parts of your body, and so he's trying to correlate this, that when your body works in unison and unity, you can do a lot of things. And so really the point is that he wants the body of Christ, the church, to work in unity so that we can accomplish the manifestation of the kingdom wherever we go. And let's take a look at 1 Corinthians 12, because this is also part of Paul's explanation to the church in Corinth. He explained that we're members of one body in Rome, and now he's in Corinth. 1 Corinthians 12, we're going to start in verse 14. And Paul writes it this way. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I'm not part of the body because I'm not a hand, that does not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, I'm not part of the body because I'm not an eye, what would that make it any less part of the body? No. If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Yeah. And if the whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything?
Yeah. Verse 18, then it says, but our bodies have many parts.
Yes.
Meaning we're talking about the physical body, and God has put each part just where he wants it. How strange a body would be if it only had one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. Verse 21, the eye can never say to the hand, well, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. In fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. Mm-hmm. Then I want you to jump to verse 27 if you're following along in your Bible. This is also up on the screen. Now all of you together, he's going back to the spiritual body of Christ. All of you together are Christ's body. And each one of you is a separate but necessary part of it. So Paul is explaining, you know, he says it in Romans. He does it here to the Corinthian church that no, we're part of Christ's body. Every single one of us mm-hmm. are a part of his body. And just like no body part of your own can function, cut off your hand and see how well your body, or just put your hand over here and the hand says, well, I don't need the rest of you. It's not going to do anything. It's going to really die separated from the full unity of the body. And so he likens it to the body of Christ saying, you can't separate yourself. Well, you can if you want to separate yourself from the body of Christ, but you will not be a healthy part. We are all meant to come together. In fact, he's created as a local body of Christ to do our part. So Ephesians 4:16, I know we're jumping around here, but if you want to just go a little bit, a few more pages forward.
Toward the back of your Bible.
To Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16. There's so many metaphors about the physical body and the body of Christ. He's saying here that he makes the whole body fit together perfectly. Mm. He's talking about the spiritual body of Christ. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts to grow. It's just like our body connected. You know, this is all working together. If one part is working, this muscle of my hand, this way it's helping my muscle to grow. Well, as each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts to grow.
Amen.
So that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. And so we're meant to join ourselves together in a body to do the work of the ministry. Scripture says, this is out of Psalms, planted in the house of the Lord.
Yes.
We flourish in the courts of our God. And then we growing in grace, we're still bringing forth fruit.
Even in old age.
But so when we decide, I'm going to plant myself, you know, with a body of people, you know, we make a joke about it. It's like live in harmony, love one another. Well, if you don't join yourself to a local body, it's easy to go, I do good at harmony. I do good at love. Well, if you're never around people to work together, anybody could say, yeah, I do a great job with it. I'm at home all the time. I'm by myself. I work by myself. It's when we get connected to other people in the body that we have an opportunity to grow and learn to love and learn to forgive and learn to encourage and actually use the gifts that we're going to talk about today. And so it's not just for your own sake that you need to be a part of the body, because the Word of God says you're going to grow and bear fruit that way, but it's for the sake of the kingdom then.
Yes.
God's got this bigger purpose in mind than just what you and I might think it's about. And so we're talking today about motivational gifts. Now we're going to go back to Romans 12.
There we go.
Back to Romans 12. We're going to center here for a while.
And this is we're going to see the seven motivational gifts. And again, once again, these are gifts that we possess. We're wired. They're wired in our DNA. God put us together with these gifts. They make up our personality. And we're going to just highlight each motivational gift, and then we're going to describe it. In Romans chapter 12, verse 6 through 8. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, and we're going to call that perceiver because it's going to help us to understand. Given us the ability to prophesy, to be a perceiver, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you're a teacher, teach well. If your gift is encouraging others, the exhorter, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. And if God has given you leadership ability, or some of your Bibles might say administrations, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift or showing kindness or compassion or mercy, to others, do it gladly. And we're going to take a look at it. This first one we're going to look at is a prophecy. Now, again, we're using the word perceiver here, so it's not confused with the manifestation gift of in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, which is a gift given by the Spirit of God, or the office of a prophet. This is different. So some of the characteristics of this motivational gift is the strong conviction about Bible truth. Right and wrong, good and evil. They see it more black and white. There's no in between. They have a willing to proclaim and take a stand for the truth. This is just their makeup right away. They're at it. They have spiritual discernment. They're deeply grieved by other people's sins. Now, Paul was a perceiver. Jude is a perceiver. Do you remember Anna, who was at the temple when Jesus was being dedicated? Yes, she was also a perceiver. And now we go to take a look at the serving gift.
The serving gift, this is the person who loves to get their hands and heart involved in helping in any way they can. This is the person who, you know, like it says, likes to fix and build, like a hands-on person. Like, let me do something. Let me help serve. They enjoy hospitality. They enjoy making other people comfortable and making, you know, the setting nice so that people could feel like, well, this is comfortable here. They have a hard time. A server has a hard time saying no, because where they see a need, it's like, yeah, I'll do it. So they could sometimes overextend themselves.
Right.
The server doesn't really want to lead anything. They're happy to carry out instructions that somebody else gives. It's like, I don't want to lead it, but I'll help make it happen. Mm-hmm. So this is the hands and the heart of the church. And Martha would be, of course, somebody that we know would be a serving gift. I think Stephen, who waited on tables in the book of Acts. Phoebe, it said she was a helper of many. So when you start to look in Scripture, you see some people, specific people that have some of these gifts.
Yeah.
The next one is teaching. This is the person who likes to dig into Scripture, researching Scripture. They like to think about it. They like to learn. This is the person who has an ability to present truth in a logical way. It's kind of line upon line. Mm-hmm. This first. And then this is the person who feels like Bible study really is foundational to everything. It's like,
come on,
we're going to be taught the word of God. We want to learn. We all need to become disciples.
Yes.
And so who was that in Scripture? Well, there's plenty of people, but we thought about Aquila and Priscilla. And we thought, yeah, that's like us. We're teachers. Apollos, because they taught Apollos. And he was, I mean, he had a perceiver or a preaching gift, if you'd say he was, I think, a preacher and a teacher. Luke would have been a teacher. James, when you read the book of James, here's a guy who had a teaching gift. He's going line upon line teaching.
For sure.
And probably Timothy, but we don't know for sure.
I would say Timothy, for sure, because he was a pastor in Ephesus. Then the next one is in the encourager, or the exhorter. The exhorter loves to encourage other people to live victoriously. Amen? And if the perceiver is more black and white, well, the exhorter, or he's kind of like, well, there's a little bit more of a gray area here that none of us have arrived, you know, and then none of us are a failure, you know, and an exhorter will accept people where they are. And that they enjoy this personal counseling with the person. And an exhorter makes decisions pretty easy, quickly. And the scriptures that point out is Barnabas. They called him the son of encouragement. Barnabas, Silas, Titus is another one. Mm-hmm. And then we'll look at the giving. This person just loves to be generous. And the person is also industrious and usually has a very good business mind.
Yeah. This is on the giver. We move to the giver.
Giving.
Yeah.
And they love to support and uphold the work of the gospel, for sure. again, they have a knack for making money. They're hard workers. They enjoy serving. And they're, again, capable of making money, which sometimes it's a little difficult for other people, but a giver is just, that's their makeup. They are able to go and make money. And they know for sure, just like what Jason says, we here at this church know that everything belongs to God. But these people really understand, and they would be quick to go and say, I'll give everything away because I'll just get more.
Yeah.
They're not a dam. They're more along the river and letting it flow.
Yeah, it's a generous spirit.
Very generous.
Using their money to support the work of the kingdom. And like you said, they're good business-minded people often.
They
just have a knack for making money. And it's awesome whenever they know that it all belongs to God, and then they funnel it back into the kingdom to support the work of the kingdom.
You know, I was looking at some of these, because you could think, well, you know, the Solomon and David and these guys. But, you know, I looked a little closer because, you know, in Luke chapter 8, it talks about women supporting the ministry of Jesus. And so I said Joanna and Susanna. And then another one is Mary, who actually broke the alabaster jar, and that was worth a year's wages.
Yeah.
I mean, this was awesome. And then there's Joseph, who was a wealthy man, but yet gave up his tomb for Christ.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can find yourself pretty much in some of these, you know, yeah, I can catch with that. I can work with that. It seems like that's how it works.
But some of them, you find that you're more dominant in one, maybe a second one, you know, after that. Leadership and administrations is another gifting. This is the person who likes to organize and work on long-term goals. Like the server person is more on short-term goals, like I'm going to do this, get it done, move on. Someone with leadership or administrative thinking doesn't mind a long-term goal.
Right.
They enjoy working with people, delegating, supervising. Like I said, whereas somebody with the server gift is like, I don't want to lead. The person with some leadership or administration says, well, I'll do some of that. I can see what needs to be done. They like to work with systems. So it's like if we do this, 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 then this will be the goal. So they like working with systems. They honor authority structures because they like systems. So it's like if we all work together under a system, this will all flow. We'll get something done. And then these are the list makers. You know, whenever I remember reading through this, I thought, oh, that's why I make these lists all the time. But they're list makers, keeping track of getting things done efficiently. So that's an administrative and leadership gift. And, of course, David. I mean, there are a number of people in Scripture. King David would have been. Deborah. You know, she functioned as a judge. Paul, of course. I think Phoebe, because he said, give Phoebe whatever it is that she needs, you know, as she's helping me spread the gospel. So she must have had some administrative ability.
Absolutely.
Peter, I believe, since Jesus assigned him, you know, as to be the rock of the church. They're the head of the church. And so then the mercy gift.
These people are ruled by their heart, not their head. You know, they're the kids that brought home the stray dog. Or the stray cat. Compassion and merciful people. They're not judgmental. They're not critical at all. Whereas a perceiver sees it in black and white. Like the mercy gift emphasizes with the suffering of other people. And they often what happens is that they, because of their makeup, they're blinded to what really is maybe a problem. They're not really able to stand up too much and see the bad things. They're just like, oh, this person needs mercy, and they'll come along, they'll get it, you know, they'll get it. You know, they're sensitive to other people's emotions, which is really good. And what they want to do is remove the hurt off of somebody. Mm-hmm. This is really important. Now, the Good Samaritan, we hear that, you know, the Good Samaritan. We see Ruth in the Old Testament, and I believe that Mary, the mother of Jesus, had this gift too. And there's a little bit of all of us in these, you know, because we are created in the image and likeness of Christ, and Christ, of course, was all of these to the fullest. But yet, we can find, like Pastor Mamie has said, something that's a little bit more dominant in our life, and you can label yourself. Is I see this is where I'm right. Yeah. This is this where I go.
You know, but we all need to show mercy. We can't say, well, I don't have that gift. Well, you know, we all need to have some mercy in us and encouragement, right?
We need
and teaching, a little bit of teaching. We have to be able to teach our children, no matter your style, but there has to be some measure of these things in us.
Right. They need to know right and wrong.
Yeah. But you will see something that dominates, it seems like. And we've used this illustration before. Because if you think, well, I don't know how I'd see myself. Mm. Here's an illustration. It's like, suppose that you had seven people over for dinner, and each one of these people had one of these seven gifts, and you know, you come through the kitchen, the doorway into the dining room, and you're carrying three plates, little plates, and three salad plates on each side, and you bump something, and it all goes on the floor, crashes on the floor. Salad's on the floor. It's all a mess. You know, the dishes are broken. How does people react? What are those seven people sitting there? What's the person with that prophetic or perceiver gift say? Well, that's what happens when you're not careful. You know, you shouldn't carry so many plates into the room, right? The server says, oh my gosh, let me help you clean that up. I'll just runs right over there and just starts to help clean up. The teacher says, well, let's see, the reason that it fell, if you would have had maybe two plates on this side and one on this side, you know, you could have balanced it better. The exhorter says, hey, we're all here to help you. You should have just asked for some help in the kitchen. You know, like, come on, we can just get this thing cleaned up. The giver says, well, I'd be happy to run out and get some more salads if we need it. You know, we can get this all done. The mercy gift says, oh, my gosh, don't feel embarrassed about it. It's okay. It can happen to anybody, right? And the administrator of the leadership gift says, hey, John, do you have a broom? Like, maybe like somebody... come get a broom, clean this up. You know, Susan, go get a towel. Like, we can wipe this up on the floor, and I'll get in the kitchen. We can make some more salads and get this thing done. They're, like, administrating everything. So I think whenever you put yourself in a situation like that, you go, yeah, I'd probably be the one to react that way more so than the other way. And sometimes, you know, our gift can be observed even in childhood.
For sure.
But I think sometimes what happens in childhood, too, like our negative experiences, have a way of putting our true gifts into hiding.
Yes.
You know, because they're not encouraged, they're not seen. And so sometimes the things that people say to us or even make fun of us, then we hide those gifts and the potential. And sadly, I think a lot of people live their whole life with untapped potential that God put on the inside of them that were gifts that were meant to actually be enjoyed. And used for him.
But we've all heard stories about an addict who gets himself clean, who gives his life to Christ, and all of a sudden, next thing you know, that this guy is on the streets preaching Jesus, or he starts a prison ministry, and he you know, because there are hurts that are deep. Amen? But again, don't lose what God has given you and cover it up. But we've all heard these success stories. Well, I was this one way, and then God came into my life, and now I've actually, just like Pastor Mamie said, sometimes your biggest hurt is your biggest ministry. Yeah.
And who would sometimes think a homeless person, drug addict on the street, who ends up getting straight, sober, walking in recovery, they're out doing prison ministry, like you said, you know, evangelizing other people. They would have never known that gift was in them. And sometimes you see the strongest anointing on these people.
Amen.
Where you go, wow, like God is really using you. It's amazing. We are his masterpiece. You know, and I know for myself, I discovered that because I've said this before, that I was a nurse, which would seem like a mercy gift, right? Well, you know, you're there to help people. But after several years of being in nursing, I was promoted then to a management position. And it was like, you want me to do management? It was generally a surprise. But I thought, well, they must see something in me that I don't see. And then after reluctantly taking that, and after 5 years, there was a teaching opportunity in the midst of that nursing role as a manager, nurse manager. And I was like, no way am I going to get up there and teach. Well, I had to do it. And when I did it, I discovered there's something in this I really kind of like, even though I thought it doesn't fit me, but why did I enjoy it so much? I say all that to say that, you know, after I even got out of nursing, and my thought was I'm just going to be a stay-at-home mom. I didn't have any thoughts about ministry, teaching, anything. But now when I look back on it, I see that God was grooming. He's preparing you for what he has prepared for you to do. If we're willing to sort of break through the barrier and do it afraid. So what? Do it with the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, and then I think he was leading us to understand how to administrate and lead a church. But if you don't step into smaller roles of it, you never know.
Come on.
You don't know the potential that the Holy Spirit has put on the inside of you. And sometimes it is difficult to see your own giftings.
Right.
You know, but I'm just so grateful that, you know, I felt like the Lord was always like going like this to me, go. And it's probably better to be a few steps behind the Lord than running out in front of him. It's like, come on, Lord, I want to do this. It's like I'd rather have him say, now's the time. I'll open the door for you. And so one gift is not, the other thing about these gifts is one is not better than another. Sometimes we think that if you if your gift puts you in front of people, well, that's more important. It's not. That's not at all the way that is. And, you know, what one person's strength is, you know, and you might look at the other person and say, well, that's a weakness.
Right.
Well, their strength is your weakness. Because sometimes, you know, we've said about the perceiver gift or, you know, the black and white person. Well, this is right and this is wrong. And sometimes that can come across, and, you know, at the right time, that's good. But sometimes you need a little softening. You need that mercy gift to come and say, look, the heart of Christ is like this. And it helps soften the, maybe sometimes the edge that a perceiver gift or that prophesying gift can have.
But so, we also understood, we read some scriptures today about it's the body of Christ and each person adds to it. And if you're just the mercy gift, guess what? You might not be willing to say, well, that was wrong. It can work out. You know, then you need the perceiver saying, no, that was incorrect. And what you did, you need to go and ask for forgiveness. Yeah. And so we need each other. This is what God has put us together as a church. Because, and here's the big thing. What happens most of the time is people judge one another according to their strengths. If I'm a perceiver, then I'm going to judge you according to my gifting. But if I'm a mercy person, I'm going to judge that perceiver according to my gifting.
Yeah.
So we can't do that because God has placed us in the body as he wills. So we need each other. It's important.
Right.
Just think if we had just one gift here. Just think if it was all serving. Well, that would be kind of a mess. Coffee would be going all over the place.
We'd have a lot of coffee and food. Be like, we have no teaching. We have no no.
The band will be up here playing.
Right,
we need the whole group. Or it doesn't, it won't grow, like it says. It says we need each other, so it grows in unity and it grows in love.
Yeah.
That's the key, growing in love. And we need each other.
Yes.
You have something I don't have.
Yeah.
I have something you don't have. And so what we do is need to humble ourselves and say, I can learn from you. I recognize that God has given a gift to you, mm-hmm. and I can glean off of that myself. Yeah. And help me to be a more rounded person.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Yeah.
Because we're being conformed to the image of Christ. Mm-hmm. If we just hold on one way, well, that's not really being completely conformed to the image of Christ. We need one another. We can learn from one another. These giftings are needed in the body of Christ.
They are. Yeah. Well, I'm going to make a plug before we close. Like we have our Team Life application here. If you'd like to, just on the one page, there's just a whole bunch of areas that you can join in and serve in. And so I would encourage you, like if you're not serving anywhere, take one of those. Pray over that. Because this is what Scripture tells us to do. there's some place you can you do belong here, and there's some place for you to serve.
Yeah.
You know, again, if you just say, well, no, well, then you have to go, well, then I'm going to just separate myself. How healthy will you become if you just say, no, I won't do anything? You know, the Lord, I believe, gives us all opportunity. And he's giving it to you today just by hearing what we're saying. And
you know, a lot of times you don't start off in your sweet spot. You understand? You don't.
I mean, I think about ourselves.
Yeah.
When we came back from Bible school, you know, we knew we'd have a church one day in Butler, but it actually took 10 years to get here to Butler. And in the meantime, we were at Victory Family Church. And
put our hand to the
plow. It's
like,
well, what do you need? Well, we started in the nursery. And, you know, we were in a movie theater. I was talking about this on Tuesday night at the ladies' meeting. You know how a movie theater is on a Sunday morning after people have been in it? There we're doing popcorn. I mean, sticky floors. You'd have to lay stuff down on the floor and set up, you know, gates and things for the babies to be able to crawl around in. But to tell you the truth, you know, we were happy to do that.
Yes,
and
for real.
Then we moved on to elementary teaching, the classrooms.
That was awesome.
And I used to say to him afterwards, I got more out of that, I think, than the kids got out of it. It was like the Holy Spirit was showing me in the simplicity of that lesson who he was in me, you know, his love for me. And I thought, this is amazing. Like, not only am I serving and helping the church and helping these children be discipled, but I'm learning to be discipled.
Yes.
And so we start, God can direct, I said this last week, a moving vessel. Like, if you're sitting there in park, nothing's going to happen. You have to get it out of park, get in drive, you know, tell the Lord, I'm in drive, like, just show me. And then it's really where there's a need. And then he directs. I mean, we didn't stay in the nursery forever. We didn't stay in the elementary forever. We didn't stay, you know, we actually served in so many parts of that ministry.
Yep.
Usher, prayer, camp counselor. But, I mean, then the day came, he was preparing us for what he had prepared for us to do. Then the day came to come to Butler. So it's like, now you've tasted and seen a whole big part of church life. Now I'm going to open the door for you for what I've had planned for you. And so just start where you are. There's no, Jesus washed the disciples' feet.
Yeah.
And so there's no place that's too humble for any of us to say, well, I can help. I can do something.
Yes.
Amen. And so help us, Holy Spirit. I'm asking you to show the people, show us, Lord. Holy Spirit, what are you saying to hearts this morning? What are you saying? What's the Holy Spirit saying to you today? You know, are you willing to step out and begin to just allow God to develop you for his kingdom purpose? And even for the sake of this body, this local body, if you feel like, well, this is where the Lord has planted me, this is to be my church, well, then ask him. I would encourage you to take one of those Team Life volunteer forms, pray over it. Ask him. Where can I put my hand, Lord, for the sake of your kingdom? And sure, it's going to feel maybe uncomfortable at first, but you're just breaking new ground. That's all. Tell them, I'm willing to break new ground with the power of your help. I want to do everything you've called me to do, to establish your dominion.
In order for you to be a part of establishing God's kingdom, you have to be a part of that kingdom first. Jesus had said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me.
Yeah.
You know, we said it's more than just having your sins forgiven, but your sins need to be forgiven.
Yes, they do. Yeah.
And only Jesus and the blood spilled by him can forgive your sins. This is an amazing thing. It's a great display of love for you that Jesus came and paid the price for your sin and my sin, the world's sin, because he loved you. If you're here today and you really never gave your life to Christ, or maybe you've been going to church all your life, but you've never really had a personal relationship with him, friend, I'm telling you, you need to surrender to him, because he'll live big in you. If you're here today and you really didn't give your life to Christ, you know that you're still under the power of that wrath of God because of the sin you're involved in, and you want to break free from that, now today's the day. Simply raise your hand right now. And we'll say a prayer. I see that prayer. I see those hands. I see those hands.
Thank you, Lord.
Anyone else?
Anybody else?
You know, it's an amazing thing because Christianity is so spiritual. When you believe in your heart and you speak out of your mouth, that's the spirit of faith.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you're exercising your faith in the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made for you. And what I want you to do is just say this prayer out loud.
And especially the two that raised their hand. Yes.
I see that hand.
I see it.
I want you to repeat this. Everybody go ahead. Father God.
Father God.
I thank you for loving me.
I thank you for loving me.
You proved your love.
You proved your love.
Through Jesus Christ.
Through Jesus Christ.
Who took my sin.
Who took my sin
upon himself?
Upon himself.
At the cross.
At the cross.
He shed his blood.
He shed his blood.
For the forgiveness of my sin.
For the forgiveness of my sin.
He was buried.
He was buried.
On the third day he rose again.
On the third day he rose again.
For my justification.
For my justification.
I take you, Jesus.
I take you, Jesus.
As my Lord and Savior.
As my Lord and Savior.
I want to live for you.
I want to live for you.
All the days of my life.
All the days of my life.
In Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah.